Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
I'm Emily Campagno.
I'm Guy Benson.
I'm Shannon Bream, and this is the Fox News Rundown.
Thursday, April 13th, 2023. I'm John Saucier. The United States and China have really been posturing lately, and much of that surrounds Taiwan, as did Chinese military assets in recent live-fire drills that were seen as a response to American military drills with Taiwan and meetings between high-level politicians on both sides. More and more, we're getting a sense that China is moving toward trying to become the preeminent superpower in the world.
China's goal from the very beginning, from the founding decades of the People's Republic of China, has been to push America out of the Pacific, something they've always dreamed of.
This is the Fox News Rundown, Evening Edition.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care, and we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Today we're checking in on China. That country's been extremely busy buying up foreign assets, beefing up their military, and cozying up to other American adversaries like Russia. Just how big of a challenge and threat does the communist nation pose, though, on the world stage?
U.S.-China relations are headed towards their lowest point since the early Cold War. And in many ways, this is just because the United States is finally reacting and responding to the Communist Party of China's decades-old strategy of surpassing the U.S.
We're speaking today with Dr. Jonathan Ward. He's founder of the Atlas Organization, a Washington, D.C.-based consultancy focused on the rise of India and China. He's also a U.S.-China global competition expert and former Department of Defense consultant.
They have strategies to overtake us militarily, to build economic influence worldwide, and to ultimately topple the U.S.-led world order. So this has been at the heart of party thinking for decades, and they've only recently been making good on it. We're starting to see all those gains in the military domain, even in diplomatic global prowess. I mean, all of that is coming to fruition now. So as we deepen our relationship with Taiwan, which is a relationship we've had for many decades, it was an ally in the early Cold War, this is going to change the game in the Pacific, and China is our chief antagonist. So we have a lot, I think, coming on the road ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. And China responded with some pretty big military drills, live fire, actually, where they kind of practiced surrounding Taiwan and cut it off. What do you think that a potential military invasion from China to Taiwan might look like if it does happen, God forbid?
Well, look, I think they're starting to normalize these drills. I mean, they did this last summer when Speaker Pelosi visited the island, and they've done it again now that President Tsai Ing-wen has met with Speaker McCarthy. So they're showing us that they can take action in the Taiwan Straits. I think the potential for them to blockade the island is something they'd like to practice on one hand, and they'd also like the world to see that. So a whole-scale invasion, I think, is a much harder thing to undertake. I mean, they would basically have to close off the Taiwan Straits, achieve some degree of air superiority in the Taiwan Strait, and then be able to do complex landing operations on key points in the island. So, you know, to be decided, if we'll see if they actually can, build the military that's capable of that. But they're making very fast gains on this, and the U.S. has to consolidate its position in the Indo-Pacific. And that also means getting our allies on board. So, you know, our relations with Japan and Australia and the Philippines are all going to be critical to building up the kind of deterrence that we need, and also getting the right military systems to Taiwan so that we can achieve the porcupine strategy, where it's just too dangerous for the PRC to take action on it.
Let's talk a little more specifically about those allies, the Philippines. There was a recent announcement that the Philippines is going to allow the United States to use military bases, including one that is strategically facing Taiwan. The United States and the Philippines obviously have a rocky history together, but how strong of a partner in that region are they for this in trying to counter China's influence in the area?
Well, they're a very strong partner, really, because China's claims to the South China Sea put them at odds with really the entirety of Southeast Asia, including the Philippines and Vietnam. So the U.S. and the Philippines have a very long-standing defense agreement, on an alliance here that goes back to the early Cold War. And recently, we're about to open four new sites through the Enhanced Defense Cooperation Agreement with the Philippines. So we're starting to increase, I think, important relations with different countries in the region, and all of this allows us to, I think, structure our position in the Pacific so that we can stay in the region. And of course, China's goal from the very beginning, from the founding decades of the People's Republic of China, has been to push America out of the Pacific. I mean, their leaders said that very clearly in the 1950s. It's something they've always dreamed of. And now they've built the military that they believe may ultimately allow them to make that a reality.
Doesn't seem like it's working, though, if, you know, we're so close with Japan, and even the Philippines is giving us use of their military bases. Is China actually making inroads and getting the U.S. out of the Pacific, or are we growing stronger in the Pacific?
Well, our relationships are growing strong in the Pacific, but our military is now starting to be eclipsed by China's in certain ways. I mean, they now have the largest navy in the world by surface combatant fleet. They have, the largest missile forces and the largest air force in the Indo-Pacific. And all of this, I think, is incredibly dangerous for the United States. It's really changed the military balance in the past 10 years or so. So, they have built a military that is, I think, very fearsome and has changed the nature of the military theater.
There was a very interesting recent meeting between the Chinese President Xi Jinping and the President of France, Emmanuel Macron, where those two got together. They had a ton of things to discuss, but the topic of Taiwan did come up, and Macron made some interesting comments there regarding following an American rhythm and a Chinese overreaction in Taiwan. A lot of people kind of interpreted this as Macron signaling that Europe might not be behind America if, in fact, there is some action in Taiwan. How important are they as a partner if something does happen there, the Europeans I'm talking about?
Well, the Europeans are actually very important partners for us in the Pacific, because the bulk of the world's economy is really about the U.S. alliance system. I mean, NATO alone accounts for half of world GDP and over half of global wealth. So we've actually been highly coordinated with the Europeans on sanctions towards Russia. That's been very important, very effective. And at the same time, if China is able to drive a wedge between Europe and the United States, they're going to have a much freer hand in the global economy. Their broader grand strategy of consolidating a hold in the world economy, making more countries dependent on them, converting that into military power, and then using that to pick off different pieces of Asia that interest them. I mean, all of that is going to have a much more open path if we don't consolidate with the Europeans our sort of shared interests. I mean, we have shared global interests. We need to have the Europeans on our side. So what Macron did was incredibly dangerous and foolish, really. I mean, it was an affront to the entire alliance system and to the system of democracies that is the only way for us to prevail in the long-term contest with China.
We've got Dr. Jonathan Ward on the line today, founder of the Atlas Organization, Washington, D.C.-based consultancy, and former Department of Defense consultant. He says China stands to gain a lot with the war in Ukraine, and they're doing a number of different things around the world to try and become more powerful than the United States. We'll have more on their involvement with Russia, the war, and his new book about what the United States can do to stop all of this, all coming up next. There is a whole nother issue going on right now. The war in Ukraine, with Russia's invasion continuing on there. A lot of people paying attention when the Chinese President Xi Jinping went to Moscow to meet with Vladimir Putin. And even more attention being placed on the idea that China could be providing material weaponry to Russia. Do you think that's already happening? Do you think it's going to happen? And if it does, what does this mean for the war in Ukraine?
Well, look, we've seen them provide all kinds of support to Russia. I mean, the economic support is incredibly robust. The propaganda support is really across the board. I mean, they're doing the Kremlin's diplomatic work in many ways and recycling Kremlin talking points around the world. And then, of course, we've now seen the provision of lethal aid to Ukraine, to Russia for use in the war in Ukraine. So that includes, body armor and assault rifles that were provided apparently through Norinco, which is one of their giant state-owned military companies. And then, of course, there are the dual-use technologies such as drones and other things that can be used for military purposes on the battlefield. So Beijing is already supporting Putin. I mean, they made absolutely clear that they are working together to basically knock the U.S. off the spot of American-led preeminence, and they both want to contest us together in Europe and Asia. So that's an axis that's forming. I think they're very philosophically aligned, and we have to treat it as a joint problem. I mean, they call it the Joint Strategic Partnership of Coordination for a New Era. Their military exercises have been increasing over the past decade. Their diplomatic relations have deepened to the point that they've declared, a confrontation with the U.S. that has a lot of depth behind it. So we have a joint Russia-China problem, and that's the best argument for Cold War II. It's the same characters. Russia and China are back. They're still authoritarian, totalitarian states. China has gained this massive position in the world economy, and Russia is directly engaged in hostilities with Europe. So we're back to a world that is going to, be dangerous, but still one where we can fundamentally win this contest in the long run if we focus on economic power and rebuild peace through strength. I mean, we have a very short window in which to get all that done, but it can be done if we focus.
Yeah, it seems like all that happened with Russia and China while we weren't even paying attention, and boom, here we are back again 20, 30 years later. All right, within that meeting between Chinese President Xi Jinping and Russia's Vladimir Putin, the Chinese leader did bring with him an idea or multi-point ideas on how to try and end the conflict in Ukraine. The U.S. State Department quickly said, wait a second, this might not be for the best for Ukraine. Do you really think China does want to end this war, or was that just Jinping trying to become closer with Putin?
Look, I think China's a false peacemaker. I mean, one, they break all the promises they make. We've seen that from the islands in the South China Sea to cyber hacking to Hong Kong, you name it. I mean, there's nothing there that really counts. And in that particular agreement or proposal that they put forward, I mean, the 12 points are not a realistic path to peace. I mean, a lot of it would allow Russia to consolidate its gains, to cease the fighting, to rebuild its positions, and not to give any territory back to Ukraine, really. So it puts the Ukrainians in a really bad position and basically is supportive of their ally in Moscow. And in the meantime, some of the other points on that proposal are really self-serving. I mean, they talk about the need to secure their supply chains and not have sanctions be put on Russia and these sorts of things that they actually fear. They understand that U.S. economic power can be brought to bear on China in the event that they take military action in Asia. So they're very concerned, I think, about what we're able to do economically. And this is part of why they're focused on Europe now, to make sure that we do not have Europe's support if they ever go for military conflict in Asia. We will need Europe's support. We will need Japan's support. We'll need to get the bulk of the economy behind us to effectively sanction China, whether that's containment, which we have to do anyway, or whether that's a response to an attack on Taiwan or another country in Asia.
We're speaking today with Dr. Jonathan Ward. He's founder of the Atlas Organization, and he's focused on U.S.-China global competition, which clearly there's a lot of. And just hearing you speak about some of this stuff makes me think about just how much we need to pay attention to China. You've got a new book about this, so can you talk about that a little bit?
Yes. So my new book is The Decisive Decade, American Grand Strategy for Triumph Over China. And I've laid out an entire U.S. strategy for how to win the long game with China. I mean, how can we actually prevail in this contest, which is going to be the hardest one in our lifetimes? It's going to be across a lot of different arenas, economic, military, diplomatic, and also values. So what does it look like for America to have a real theory of victory here, to actually rebuild the world that we want to live in and foreclose Beijing's path to power? We can still stop this. I mean, my first book, China's Vision of Victory, laid out China's own strategy and their own documents and all of their sort of thinking on their global economic, military, and diplomatic strategies. And, now I've come up with, what should we do to respond to that? How can we actually succeed on the road ahead and solve the most difficult geopolitical problem since the first Cold War?
I like that. You kind of have books on both sides of it. There's China's perspective. Now here's what we can do about it. Pretty cool stuff. To examine both sides, as always. Jonathan Ward, the founder of the Atlas Organization, former Defense Department consultant. We appreciate your insight. Looking forward to reading that book. And thanks for joining us here on the Fox News Rundown Evening Edition podcast. Really insightful stuff.
Well, thank you.
You've been listening to the Fox News Rundown. And now, stay up to date by subscribing to this podcast at foxnewspodcasts.com. Listen ad-free on Fox News Podcasts Plus on Apple Podcasts. And Prime members can listen to the show ad-free on Amazon Music. And for up-to-the-minute news, go to foxnews.com.
It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.